In Exodus chapter 3, we come to this time in our brother Moses' life that he has been raised up in Egypt and saw the oppression of his brethren there in that land. The Egyptians had taken a turn and began to deal with the nation of Israel deceitfully, used them and brought them into bondage, and they were their taskmasters, and those Israelites were used to build some great works there in Egypt. They cried unto their Lord for a deliverer, and the Lord did hear. Our Lord had purposed and planned that he would deliver them centuries before that. But nevertheless, in the working of God and the working amongst men, they did cry, and our Lord says he did hear. Brother Moses has enjoined himself into this fella named Jethro. He's married one of his daughters, and he's keeping this man's sheep there in that Sinai Peninsula, there in that land of Midian. And we read here in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb," or otherwise known as Sinai. Know that. And understand this, that Sinai, Horeb, it's not where the maps say that it is. It's not. Because it's here we find it's in the land of Midian. And so it's actually in Arabia. I mentioned the Sinai Peninsula, but it's actually there in Arabia, around that other finger there of that gulf in the sea that is there. That is where he goes to this place. Verse number 2, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." Verse number 4, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." This is the calling of the Lord upon Brother Moses to go and do a great work. And that isn't the subject of our message this morning. It is a message in a series of messages. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Moses has been engaged in the work that the Lord has given him to do, and going to Pharaoh, going to the children of Israel, and being the leader of God, God's man, to bring them out of that, out of the captivity and the bondage that they're held in there. And he does so, and the Lord does so. He's brought them out, and he's come back to this place. The Lord answering a promise that the Lord would know, or Moses would know, that the Lord was with him when he brought all that multitude back to that same mountain. And he did so. The Lord made good on what he said. Moses has gone up onto the mount to get the law of God. Aaron has succumbed to the popular opinion of the people. They're missing Moses for all these days, and they don't know what's become of him, and they want Aaron to make gods, and he did so. He made these molten calves, and they worshiped them, and Moses comes down from the mount, and all that terrible thing that happens there is he breaks the tables, his anger is waxed hot against the children. He takes the children of Israel, they take those golden calves, grind them into powder, put them in the brook, and he makes 1.5 million, 2 million, 3 million people drink that water with that golden calf ground up in it. And he's the man of God. There's a plague that's amongst them, and Moses calls upon the Levites to help out, and they gird themselves, and there's a slaying, the judgment of God there upon the children of Israel for their disobedience. And in chapter 33, we come to this point that the Lord is talking with Moses, in dealing with this about the people, the promise of God and the stiff-neckedness of the people and the Lord, if you will, taking a time here to determine how he's going to chastise the people, the setting up of this tabernacle outside of the congregation and the Moses being there. It tells us that in the first part of chapter 33. We come to verse number 12, and that's where we are this morning. And Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." Moses has got a time of doubt here, a time of wanting more understanding that he has. He reminds the Lord about some things that he said unto him. And what we want to extract from this morning is Moses declares, he says, "Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name." I know thee by name. And that's what we want to consider here this morning and in several messages to come. I know thee by name. You know, it's one thing to say, for you and I to say that we know the Lord. And the people of God are to declare unto others without Christ. And in our day, we have the full understanding of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And by repentance and faith, repentance of sins and faith in our Lord Jesus and his gospel, that is the message that the children of God, the churches of the Lord, are to declare unto sinners. That as the scripture says, there's going to come a day when the children of God will not say, "Know the Lord," but all will know him. And that's what it declares, and that's not the subject for now. But we live in that day where we declare unto others, "Know the Lord." And it is a good thing to know the Lord. But I tell you what, does the Lord know you? Does the Lord know you? It's one thing for us to claim, for a person to claim that they know the Lord. But does the Lord know you? "I know thee by name," our Lord declares. In John chapter 11, our consideration for this morning, we have a very familiar account here about brother Lazarus and his sisters. And I trust you're familiar with it, and if you're not, maybe till this morning you become more familiar with it. But we just want to take a look here, that having this thought, this main thought, "I know thee by name," in consideration of this account here regarding our brother and the Lord. In John chapter 11, verse number 1, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." And Bethany's over there from Jerusalem around the south side, going to the east, on the way to Jericho, around the south side of the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is prominent there on the east side, especially of the Temple Mount in that area. And Bethany's on around the base of that mount, going over not too far, a couple miles. And so Lazarus is there, and he's sick. "It was that Mary," verse number 2, "which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." It gives us connection, another connection in the Gospels. And so if you would be studying this passage, it'd be good to go find that out, okay? "Therefore his sister sent unto him the Lord, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." So there's a word sent from the sisters. The Lord Jesus is not there at Bethany, but they send messengers out to go tell the Lord that Lazarus is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, verse number 4, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Jesus knows, doesn't he? He says, "This sickness is not unto death." That's what he declares to his disciples, but for the glory of God. In Luke chapter 9, you hold your place here. In Luke chapter 9, we just want to go over here and take a look at this. be reminded of it. There was a blind man that the apostles and the Lord Jesus come upon here in Luke chapter 9. And there's a thinking in the day, in this day, a superstition amongst the people that if somebody's sick, it's a chastisement. It's chastisement or punishment from God. Look here at the attitude of even the apostles here in Luke chapter 9, verse number 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together. Whoops. I've got the wrong account here. Let me find it real quick, okay? John 9. I knew that didn't look right in my Bible. John 9, verse number 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man, saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. It's the same thing in regards to Lazarus. Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That man was born blind so that the Lord Jesus, the God Almighty, through his Son, would be glorified in that man. You mean a man's whole life? Yes. A number of years, decades even, that the man was blind? Yes. Because this is God. This is our Lord. He's not a man like you or me. He is God Almighty at work. And I tell you what, his work is the greatest and the most wonderful that there is. Back in John 11, the Lord Jesus says, this sickness is not unto death, but what? It's for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He says, this is what this is for, fellas. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, there in verse 5, and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Jesus seemingly didn't react. He just stayed. Don't you wonder what the disciples were thinking? Oh, surely he'll go. But he didn't go. Day one, nightfall again. Day two, why aren't we leaving? Verse 7, then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? So maybe there was an understanding on their part. Maybe they were thinking Jesus was just laying back because of the threat. Jesus answered. Maybe they thought, when this word came, they thought, well, that's too bad, because we can't go down there anymore, because it's certain death. Lazarus will just have to be sick. I don't know. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. The disciples say unto the Lord Jesus, says, they're going to kill you down there. And as the Lord says in other places, he says, I've got a work to do, and that work needs to be done in the daytime. While there is life here, present now, that's when we need to walk and when we need to go. Our Lord Jesus is telling us indeed, and to be courageous in the Lord. If the Lord has given us something to do, which he has, we need to pursue it and do it until he takes us out of here and there is no more life from him here, physically. We need to follow the Lord. We need to, as the Lord says, walk in the day. Not make excuse. Not desire another way or think that we can save and preserve our lives to ourselves. Lord, don't you know they want to kill you down there and stone you? He said, it's daylight, fellas. We need to go. We need to go do what the Father's given us to do. These things said he, verse 11, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, John writes. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. The Lord chimes up here and he says, Lazarus is sleeping. And that's great. If he's resting, that's what he needs to get over his illness. Everything is very good. Good, I said. And it would seem odd to them, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Why would the Lord go there to wake him up out of his nap? If he's sleeping, that's what he needs. Anybody that's sick needs to rest. If he sleep, he shall do well. He'll get healed up. In verse number 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now look at this, folks. Everybody here, if you've got ears, listen. Look how the Lord Jesus looks at death. You and I, naturally, we fear death. Part of what Brother Doug brought out this morning in the Sunday school lesson is indeed by death is how we are set free to go on to be with our Lord. A miraculous thing that our Lord has done. Taking the greatest thing that we fear and has actually made it the release and the escape to go on to be with Him. But the Lord looks at death just like you and I look at taking a nap. Why? Well, you can take a look at John chapter 5 and understand that the Lord Jesus has and is life. The Lord Jesus has the keys of death too. That's the reason that the Lord Jesus is able to take those out of hell and judge them in Revelation chapter 20 and cast them into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Jesus controls life, and Jesus controls death. He's got all power, hadn't he? And so when they're talking about Lazarus here, he's waited 2 days, the disciples hear about the Lord Jesus going to wake him up out of his nap. So, well, if he's sleeping, he's doing all right. You know, maybe they're thinking with the threat at hand, why go to Bethany? If he's doing all right, Lord, you seem to know that. But the Lord Jesus, he says to him plainly, said he's dead. Verse number 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. I tell you what, in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything's always in the positive and the affirmative, isn't it? He is the Amen. The Lord Jesus says plainly to them, Lazarus is dead. And the journey is whatever it is from wherever the Lord Jesus is at that point. So they'll take them that time to get there. And he says, I'm glad I didn't go. And I'm glad I didn't go for your sakes, that you might believe. That you and I would believe more in our Lord and His power, in His calling upon us. You that are here and not saved, that you might believe and know that Jesus is the Savior that you need. You need Him. This is the way the Lord Jesus looks at death. He says to him, it's like sleep. It doesn't thwart him at all. It doesn't cause alarm on his part. Death causes alarm on our part. You remember how when we heard that Brother John Kepler was killed, it causes alarm in our hearts, doesn't it? Those of us that know him and his family. Now with Jesus, he's not alarmed. He's not alarmed at all. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus in verse number 16, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Boy, that's negative, isn't it? So it's courageous. He said, but we're going to go down there to certain death, fellows. Let's go. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So whatever time it took him to travel, the 2 days to boot, as they're getting there near, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. I don't know if there were others that came to him, however it is. Of course, our Lord would know, but the indication here, it's come to pass as the word got around. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, about a mile and a half to the east. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary, verse number 19, to comfort them concerning their brother. They love him, and they're grieving with them and mourning with them, as anyone that loves another does in their friend or their loved one's loss. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, so as Jesus moved around, evidently there were those that would run before, or they would see Jesus and his troop there on the road, and they would know that it was him and find out where he's heading, and maybe they would ask the disciples, "Where are you guys going? What town are you going to?" "We're going to Bethany." That word gets around. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. So Martha runs out. But Mary sat still in the house, the other sister. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." She knew and understood that Jesus had power. But in her heart and her mind right now, I tell you what, the disciples are not the only ones. We are not the only ones. Martha, with the disciples and with you and me, we need to know that Jesus has the power even after it's impossible with you and me. The Lord says, "I'm glad this happened for your intent, to the intent that you may believe in him and know more about our Lord's power and ability. If you'd have been here, my brother had not died." She knew that if the Lord was there while there was life in Lazarus, that it would all been okay. She didn't have any problem with that. But she presently has doubt about the Lord's ability now, doesn't she? And understand, we don't falter for that. But it is a reality how that you and I are naturally prone to doubt rather than to faith. "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." So there seems to be a thought there that Martha maybe understands that the Lord could do something. Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto him, verse 24, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Sounds like Martha had been hearing some of Jesus' teaching. Amen? Jesus had been teaching about the resurrection. About the resurrection in and through him. That those that are saved, they're not only forgiven of their sins here and have peace with God but have everlasting life from the standpoint of they will raised from the dead again. You know, salvation of the soul doesn't stop people from physically dying. And so there would be a question about that in this time of the gospel being revealed in the ministry of our Lord. They would have to be referred to those Old Testament scriptures that talk about that, like Brother David and Brother Job. And then the Lord Jesus himself taught that, you know what, you will live again in a body. Not just out here in the spirit world, but physically upon the earth. And so he taught about it, and she believed that. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Wow, that's a bold, big statement, isn't it? Even though you're dead, you will live. That's the way the Lord Jesus looks at death. He said, "You'll live." It talks about the present tense of the saints, doesn't it? Whether a child of God is here in their fleshly body or dead in this fleshly body, they yet are, aren't they? Not was, but are alive. and will be reunited with their body like Christ at the resurrection. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. That's the only way that the children of God do rise again is because our Lord did rise from the dead. And in Him is indeed life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Martha, do you believe that I am the resurrection? Not that the resurrection is this thing, this happening that will happen to the saints over here, but that I am in the midst of it because I am the resurrection. I am the life. If you're here and you're not saved, that's the reason you need the Lord Jesus Christ. Because right now, yes, your heart is beating and your brain is working and your eyes are open, but you are indeed dead. And you need the Lord Jesus that you might live. That you might live forevermore. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me, because you know what? That is the time for faith. In the daytime. The now. Right here while there's life and the Lord Jesus is the time to believe, trust, and rest in Him. Yet whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. See, when somebody's dead, they can't believe. When somebody dies without Christ, it's too late. It's past. The time of repentance and faith is past. But now, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. She saith unto him, verse 27, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Son of God. That's where you come from, who you are, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly. Mary, come on, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, Mary, she arose quickly and came unto Jesus. Verse 30, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. So the Lord holds outside of town, outside of Bethany. The Jews then, which were with her in the house with Mary, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth to the grave to weep there. So Mary gets up, and they see her do that. So, well, no doubt she's going out to where he's buried. They didn't know about Martha having spoken to her, that the Lord is calling for her, and that the Lord is outside of town. So these people are following along with Mary. And no doubt with Martha. Then when Mary, verse 32, was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Can you think about and consider that at that time Lazarus is sick? They're wiping his brow. They're tending to him. They're giving him whatever nourishment he'll take, however that is, and that fever or however the illness is upon him. And say, if the Lord would just get here. If the Lord would just get here, come through the door. They go to the door. They look down the street. They sent messengers. Their expectation was that their Lord would come. They're pacing back and forth and they're praying and they're tending to Lazarus. And said, if the Lord would just get here, he'd heal him. We know that he would. If he could just get here. And then it came to that point that Lazarus drew that last breath. And Jesus didn't show up. They go ahead and prepare Lazarus for burial. And Jesus didn't show up. They bury him that day or the next from the day that he died, because that's what they had to do. They had to bury him quickly. And the Lord Jesus never showed up. And that was on their hearts. If you'd have just got here in time. That's the first words out of her mouth, just like Martha. If thou had been here, he wouldn't have died. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, understand, they're not near the tomb. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, our Lord Jesus groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now, is Jesus troubled about Lazarus' situation? He knows what he's going to do for Lazarus. I mean, Lazarus has got it made. When the Lord Jesus gets involved, the benefactor of the grace, of the favor, of the work of the Lord has got it all to gain. But it wasn't the disciples only that needed to believe in him more fully, is it? It's not only the disciples, but it's these here too. Do we understand here how it is that the Lord is going to take a very difficult, terrible, traumatic affair to take these folks, to take his children and stretch them into the next level of growth? That's what it takes. Growing pains hurt. But I tell you what, when you do hurt, you do go ahead and grow up. He groaned in spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" Verse 34, they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." So it's now, outside of Bethany, that they're taking the Lord to the tomb. And Jesus wept. Is Jesus weeping over the loss of his friend and his brother? Well, by no means. We see in verse number 4 of this chapter, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. He knew exactly what he was doing. Verse number 11, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Verse number 15, I'm glad for your sakes. Lazarus is dead, verse 14. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. He said, this is all for you and those others there at Bethany, and for you and me. I believe indeed our Lord Jesus is touched. One of the few occasions that it mentions in the scripture about our Lord weeping. Our Lord weeping over our lack of faith and unbelief toward him. It grieves. Can you imagine that? You know, we think of God as being untouchable and unmovable and sure and steadfast and eternal he is. We think about the Son and the great courage that the Lord Jesus Christ showed. And, you know, it's very easy for us to think that God is hard. God is not hard. Oh, he's righteously vengeful, but he's very compassionate. And my unbelief, our unbelief, can cause our Lord Jesus to weep. You know, that tells how much he cares about us. That shows how much he knows we need a body change, doesn't he? Doesn't it? He knows our frame. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Understand in the scriptures, we can be led to misunderstand things. They refer to the Lord's love of Lazarus, and indeed he loves him. It says here, the certain man Lazarus, and he said that the message that they sent, he whom thou lovest is sick. The fellowship that brother Lazarus and the Lord Jesus had was blessed. Behold how he loved him. Their misunderstanding, I believe. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and caused that even this man should have not died? Should not have died? See, again, they're thinking a couple days, few days, 4 days later, and that was the only opportunity for the Lord Jesus to be able to do something. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself. The groaning, the weeping, the troubling of our Lord and his spirit and his soul, it comes from the unbelief of these people in his power and who he is. Not over the circumstances, situation of Lazarus dying. He's in full control of that. Isn't it something that Jesus cares about the unbelief of sinners? But he does. He does. Couldn't this man have caused Lazarus not to have died? Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. So now he's arrived on the scene. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. Martha was the one that met the Lord Jesus out on the road. She seemed to have understanding about the power of the Lord there for a second, didn't she? But Jesus commands to take the stone away. He said, oh, Lord, by now it's going to be so terrible for you to do that. And he's decomposing and stinking. Do you want to do that? By this time he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, verse 40, he says unto us, say I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe in him, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Because that's the reason this whole occasion is for, is that Jesus might be glorified. The disciples heard it some days ago, and now we're here in the midst of it. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Jesus has been praying to the Father, hadn't he? I'll tell you what, if Jesus prays to the Father, shouldn't you and I about everything? And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. The Father has sent the Son. And the Son has all power. He is the Savior. He is our Savior. And he is the only Savior that can help sinners in need of a Savior. I'm talking about those that are saved have a Savior, so we don't need another one. But if you're here and not saved, you need Christ. And the Lord's praise here, and he declares this. He says, you hear me always, Father, but I've declared this out loud, that you hear me, that they may believe that thou hast sent me, that I'm from you. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Our Lord knows this man by name, doesn't he? Oh, Lazarus knows him, but you know what? Jesus knows Lazarus too. To be known by name of the Lord. I praise the Lord, he knows me by name. Does he know you by name? I tell you what, if you're unsure of that, do you want him to know you by name? Is there desire there for him to know you by name? I tell you, go to him with everything. He has all the power, doesn't he? All ability. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. I tell you, he came out of there stiff-legged and waddling out. He came forth, didn't he? He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. The connotation there is like he's yet a criminal. Probably did it on the Sabbath day. It's not told there, but That would be our expectation. I know thee by name. Our Lord Jesus knows Brother Lazarus by name, and I tell you what, I use the present tense because that's so. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus, and we pray that He'll know you by name. Do you want Him to? I tell you what, go to Him. Are you lost and undone and sick and dead with sin? I tell you what, go to Him with it. As the Lord had declared unto Brother Moses, as we read back there in Exodus chapter 33, I know thee by name. And He does. We've touched on this verse on Sunday afternoon in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And He does. He's not confused. He's not wondering. And everything that He does and the time that He does it is for His honor and for His glory, that He might be glorified. And may we glorify Him. May we praise His name. What do you think was going on there in Lazarus and Mary and Martha's household that day, that morning, that afternoon, that evening? I tell you what, they were rejoicing and smiling at the Lord and understood more about His power and His ability. You reckon that they Mary wanted to wash the Lord's feet again and anoint Him again? Indeed, yes, they were rejoicing in the power of the Lord and He knowing them by name. In Revelation chapter 2, I want us to just review a couple promises here that the Lord gives us. I know thee by name. In Revelation chapter 2, the Lord preaching here and sending His message through John to the churches there in Asia Minor, to us. Remember what the Lord says in this regarding knowing us by name. I know thee by name. In chapter 2 of Revelation, verse number 17, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. You know how you can overcome? Only through our Lord Jesus and only in His church. That's the context that's here. He's writing to His seven churches. He's writing to these churches about the troubles that many of them have within. And He tells those that will hear Him, he that hath ears to hear, the overcomers overcome right here, right where you're at, in the church that you've been called into. And what's He say? To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. A name where the Lord says, I know thee by your special name that I'll give you. I know it, and you know it. Can you think of the millions, the billions, however many there are that the Lord will save, being there, and not a one of the others knowing what that name is in that white stone given by the Lord? I wonder, with that white stone, will we carry it around? Will we have pockets in our robes to carry it around, or you just carry it around like that? So what's your name? I can't tell you. So that's the Lord. You know, He said that'll be a special thing. And indeed, the Lord will know us by name. He knows us by name. And He will know that name too. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 12. I love this. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Revelation 3:12. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. I tell you what, don't get tattooed. Don't get the writings of this world upon your body. Don't desecrate your body in that way. If you have, ask the Lord to forgive you and then move on. I tell you what, I'm waiting for the Lord to write on me. Amen? Because He knows us by name. And may we rejoice in that. He knows us by name. May we rejoice in His power and trust in Him and His power. And again, if you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus. And we pray that he'll know you by your name. Do you desire for him to? Go to him with everything that you need, everything that you're confused about, scared about, desire to know about, go to him with it.